Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this third day of December 2018. And I am delighted that I have, for the very first time on the program today, Dr. Cliff Boone. Dr. Cliff Boone is an author and the pastor of Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I had the privilege of meeting him at a Bible Fellowship Church pastor's conference in the Poconos, I think it was about a year ago, where Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, was speaking. That's the ministry of John MacArthur. And I was delighted to meet Dr. Boone and get to have an introduction to him and to find out about his book that we are addressing today, Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Cliff Boone.
Well, thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. It's a privilege to be here with you.
Great. Well, before we go into the subject at hand, since you are a first-time guest, what we normally do is when we have a first-time guest is we have them start off the program with a summary of their salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Ah, well, I love telling that story. I was a military brat. My dad was in the Air Force, and we moved around to various places, including living overseas. But we finally stopped moving when my dad was in the state of Maryland, my dad and mom. So everywhere we went, they brought us to church. They were regular church goers. We wound up in a mainline Presbyterian church, and it was one of those you might call neo-Orthodox
right
situations where, yeah, there was so much good and yet the gospel was not clearly communicated. But in that church, the pastor allowed a young couple to take charge of the youth group, and they had met Christ, and there was a burgeoning high school group, and in that little generation there, and I was a part of that, and they made sure that all of us heard the gospel. And gradually, as they were actually teaching the scriptures, you know, I got real convicted, and of course I didn't know the language back then, but I was being drawn to faith, and I had a prayer that I had made up myself, and I would say that every night when I went to bed. It got to the point, though, as God was working on me, that I, every time I would go to pray, I would think about God, and in doing so, then I would feel this sense of foreboding that something was wrong between me and God, but I didn't understand it. And it got so intense that I got to the point where I was afraid to go to bed, because every time I go to bed, I would instinctively go to pray, then this would kick in all this feelings of conviction. And in that time of turmoil, this young couple brought the youth group to a meeting. It was just a meeting for high schoolers in the area. And at this meeting, the speaker, who to this day I do not know his name, but he presented the gospel, and I realized that I did not know Christ. I actually didn't have a relationship with Christ. I was in the church, but I wasn't actually a Christian. And the lights just went on. So now I look back on it, and I realize that was God opening my eyes, and I surrendered my life to Christ that night. And, of course, everything changed after that.
And how and when did you realize that you had a calling placed upon your life, your heart, by God to become a pastor?
Yes, well, that's another interesting story. So I was about halfway through my junior year in high school when I was converted. And my thoughts, and I was just so overcome with the Lord. And, my friends didn't know what to do with me. I was, then what happened was it didn't take long. I began thinking, I should be a minister. I should be a pastor. And then somewhere during my senior year of high school, I read the biography of Peter Marshall. I don't know if you've read that, A Man Called Peter.
Yes, the host of the Hollywood Squares. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Different guy, same name, yes. He was the,
yes.
Wasn't he the chaplain for the United States Senate or something, or the Congress?
Exactly. And he came over from Scotland. It's a remarkable story. And my grandmother, my family was from the South, she remembered him. She heard him preach. But I was, in those days, I looked at that example, and I thought, oh my, if that's what you have to be a pastor, I could never do that. So I reverted to my first love, which is the outdoors, God's creation. And I went to West Virginia University and majored in wildlife management. And I joke now that that training came in handy when I became a youth pastor. But I was in wildlife management, and while there, I was involved in a campus ministry, and gradually over those 4 years, I just began to see God using me in evangelism and Bible studies, and that's also when my eyes were open to the issue of missions, being in a kind of a quasi-liberal church. Missions isn't an issue, but now I was hearing about this world and entire people groups that didn't have the gospel. And by the time I graduated from college, I did graduate with a wildlife management degree, but I knew at that point that, no, the Lord has something different for me. I worked 2 more years with the campus group and then went to seminary, and then ended up going into the ministry and then missions. So, yeah, it was a gradual realization that the Lord had something for me other than the animals and the trees, which are also important, but the calling of my life was different.
Well, now tell our listeners something about Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah, we're in the Bible Fellowship Church denomination, which, depending from where you're from in the country, can be confused with. There was a time where a bunch of graduates were coming out of Dallas Seminary and starting independent churches called Bible Fellowship. That's a different movement than ours, and the two didn't really know anything about each other. We actually come from in the old days, we were called the Mennonite Brethren in Christ, and we're based mainly in Pennsylvania, in the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York State, some in Maryland, Delaware, in that area mainly. So it's an interesting group. I really enjoy being a part of it. I wasn't born into it, as I've already said, but we come from an Anabaptist stream of church history, but I say we dug a little canal from the Reformed stream, and a lot of the theological waters came over from that stream into us. So we weren't Calvinistic to begin with, but we are now. It's an interesting story. The entire denomination changed from an Arminian to a Calvinistic perspective on salvation, which is a story in itself.
Yeah, in fact, I have had the privilege of interviewing a couple, at least, of your pastors. Josh Miller of the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg.
Right.
And
right.
Also Ron Cole at the...
Quakertown.
Yeah, where they have the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology.
Exactly,
and,
yes.
Interviewed Ron on his victory over cancer, much to the, or all to the praise, honor, and glory of God. And he's a dear, humble brother. I really enjoy fellowshipping with him.
Well, actually, Ron is from this church, from Cedar Crest.
Oh, wow.
When I first was senior pastor here, he was the youth pastor, so we ministered together until he got his call to Quakertown. So I know Ron very well.
Great. Well, I would love to have him back, and you can spread the word amongst your pastors in your denomination that I would be more than happy to interview any of them, because I have nothing but the highest confidence knowing of the theological background of the Bible Fellowship Church denomination, that it won't have any problems, and if I have any disagreements, I'm sure they are minor.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I'm going to give our listeners the email address for them to join us on the air with a question of their own, if they have one. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if you have a personal and private question. And obviously, with a subject like this, how to experience Christ's victory over the devil in your everyday life, you may have, or should I say we may have, some people who have personal and private questions, because that is quite an intimately and personal subject, as well as a topic of theological discussion.
Right.
First of all, tell us about what led you to write this book to begin with, Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life.
Yeah, thank you for that question. As I've grown over the years, and I share in the book a little bit, just in a general sense, that you know, there were some things that happened in my life that were obvious manifestations of the unseen realm, and I was confused and scared by some of by that.
Can you tell us, can you describe that for us?
Yeah, I could. At times, there have been, I won't say everything, but there were, in our early marriage, there were manifestations of, I'm not sure what happened, and we lived in a little mobile home, and I'm not sure what had gone on before that, but there were apparitions appearing at night inside the trailer.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were those apparitions looking like?
Yeah, it was just kind of a shadowy figure. And there were some other things, some things that occurred in while dreaming. You know, I don't mean that in an Old Testament vision type of sense, but just dreaming. There were things that happened in dreams that were disturbing. There were some occasions with a grip of kind of a sense of oppression. And this is something I talk about in the book, too. This whole realm is, I'm comfortable not defining everything precisely, because I think what happens is in this realm there's a fog that I think you read the book, so you remember me using that phrase that, sometimes if things are just foggy, and it's because we're not quite sure what's happening. But I also, then we ministered up here after seminary. We ministered up here in Allentown in this church. I was the youth pastor then back in the 80s and the Christian education director. And we ran into some people with severe problems. And I had taken some of what I had learned and tried to implement it to help people and ourselves. And then the Lord took us to East Africa, so we ministered in Tanzania for 11 years. And there, in that culture, Satan's surface strategy is a little different. I think his core strategy is the same no matter what the culture is, but the surface strategy can change depending on how he's already influenced the culture. So whereas things like the occult and overt demonic manifestations seem to be kind of undercover in ours, or not mainstreamed or not talked about as if they're really real, in our setting in Tanzania, it was all up in the open. Everyone was from an animistic background, so there was all sorts of stuff going on right up front. Nobody, in broad daylight, it wasn't being trying, no one's trying to hide it. It's right out front. So we were taught a lot by our African brothers and sisters in Christ who dealt with that, and we just kept learning. But in the middle of that, I was thrown into Bible study. So I remember in those early days in Tanzania, I thought, I have got to learn what does the Lord want in this realm, or what's real and what's not. So I began studying every occurrence of the demonic in the scriptures, and I just kept studying, and then eventually kind of came to the place where I am. I was also helped by a couple other books that were already written, and by a mentor of mine who's with the Lord now, a man named Dr. Harold Burchett. He helped me with some principles. I've quoted him in the book also. But then I got back. So then I came back to Allentown after 11 years. I've been pastoring here now for about 16. And what I find is that when a person who's experiencing some sort of manifestation from the unseen realm, when they realize that the pastor is going to take them seriously and not consider them to be a case of mental illness, this is the issue. When they realize that you're actually going to take them seriously, then you hear the stories. And I am no longer surprised when people begin to open up and tell me what's going on in their life. I have a chapter about dreams because that's one of the first things people will talk about with me. And other issues, I realize that Satan's just kind of going a little underground here, but he's as active here as he is in Africa. But people think you're going to think they're loony if you start talking about it, so people don't talk about it. And then the other issue is good brothers in the Lord, you know, good pastors, brothers that I would consider it an honor, you know, to be ministering with them, are not equipped in this area. They're just, we didn't get taught it in seminary. We don't exactly know what to do with it. And so that all, you put all that together, and I thought, I prayed, and it's like, I think I need to write this to help people because I know they need this help. You know, I just know they need it.
Yeah, the subject that we are addressing is either on one end of the spectrum, on the charismatic Pentecostal side of the spectrum, it's usually sensationalized, not by everybody in those movements, but very often, if not most often, when these issues of the demonic realm come up, they are sensationalized. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, people in our circles of fellowship, theologically reformed, Calvinist, or even the fundamentalist circles.
Right.
These are topics that are typically ignored.
Right.
So it's always refreshing to hear a biblical subject that needs to be addressed, brought up in a truly biblical fashion and not one for entertainment purposes or to scare people into giving money or whatever the case may be. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar with a ministry called To Every Tribe, but they are a Sovereign Grace ministry
okay.
dedicated to bringing the gospel into parts of the world that have not been evangelized. And I have had an interview with someone who I believe was the president at one time, David Sitton. I don't believe he is currently the president, but or the CEO. But Brother Sitton told me about some pretty frightening things that happened on the mission field, where he believed that he was actually witnessing genuine demonic supernatural activity and manifestations that were not the product of trickery and that kind of thing.
Right. Yes, and we did too. But I see it here too. And I see, it's interesting in our setting that we were in East Africa. What happens is because everyone's attention is heightened towards these kind of things, then we would say witch doctors, but that's probably not the best way to say it, but the religious specialist of the people group would attempt to solve people's problems dealing with it. But there would be mixed into that a lot of trickery and deceit. But out there, you wouldn't take everything at face value, because some of it is just, deceit. But some of it wasn't. It just was not. It was real. We, in those early days, because we were in an unreached people group called the Sundawe people, there was rarely a conversion that didn't involve a confrontation with the demonic in one way or the other. And often, we don't do that in our culture, but part of our follow-up, our initial follow-up of people who have made a profession of faith, was a discussion at their home. What do you have in your home? What paraphernalia do you have that is associated with reaching into the unseen realm? And everybody had stuff. And so we would have burnings at people's homes where they would renounce Satan's grip on their life, renounce him, and say, I'm with Christ. And the Christians would gather around, we'd sing hymns, we'd get the fire ready, but they would light the fire, and then they would throw the things in and burn them up. And it was a wonderful time of, Christ getting the glory for setting these people free. And then at times there might be an outbreak of some sort of the demon. I know there's one, in one case there was that, but in others, it was just a great victory celebration. But we don't have that in our normal discipleship manuals here in America, do we?
No, we don't. we here in the United States and in the Western world, we have so much preoccupation with battling those within the church that undermine the responsibility professing Christians and Christians in general need to take for their own sin because of the fact of the easy believism movement being so rampant in the Christian church at large, especially modern-day evangelicalism, that bringing up the demonic, even though it's a biblical subject, one very often feels like, are we going to be giving Christians another excuse not to take responsibility for their own sin? Blaming the devil, as Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, especially since actual demonic ritual practice and ceremony and religion is not nearly what it is in Africa and other parts of the world, we tend to relegate this subject to a lower rung of importance. But I'm not saying that that's appropriate. I'm just saying that I think that very often we who are in circles that tend to ignore this issue are doing it because of the fact that we've got so much on our plate already trying to get people to take responsibility for their sin.
Yes. And I would say, too, another factor in our culture is that we're already on, what would... what generation are we now in terms of having a secular education? I don't know, are we on the fifth generation? I'm not sure what number, but how you'd count it. But we've had a lot of years with the education system being secular, and so there isn't really a place in a secular thought for this kind of stuff, except mental illness. So they've got a category where then they've got it categorized as they're still not admitting that there's an actual being, a spiritual being, separate from you that exists. They're just saying that in your mind you've got some sort of problem. So Christians, pastors, you know, we've grown up in this culture, and so we ourselves are programmed without knowing it to kind of not know what to do with this subject. Whereas in Africa, it was the opposite. They were programmed to see demons where they weren't. You know, they saw them everywhere where they, you know, lots of times they weren't there. But here, we're the opposite. We can have them right in front of us, and we don't, we've got them categorized in somehow else. And I think that's part of our problem.
Well, we have to get...
add to that, you know, I've heard, you know, just kind of bad theology. You see, we don't know what to do with it, so then we say things like, well, you know, when the Spirit indwells us, then Satan can't be there. You know, Satan can't be where God is. And it's like, well, God is omnipresent, and Satan exists somewhere. So, I mean, just look at the text in Scripture. It's saying that Satan's after us. He's trying to get footholds in our life, and there's a way to resist him. You know, we can resist him. It's the Scripture portrays Christians as, in like in Ephesians 6, we are, you know, we're wrestling against these entities. 1 Peter 5 says we're resisting the devil. But many American Christians don't look like that. You know, they don't look like that. And that's where I'm coming from, trying just to fill in a blind spot. I'm not contradicting anything. I'm just filling in a blind spot that we've missed. Yeah.
And we have to go to our first station break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, God willing, right after these messages with Dr. Cliff Boone and Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember Solid Ground Christian Books when you're doing all of your Christmas shopping. That's solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. There's definitely something for everyone on your Christmas list, whether they are a Christian or not. Because obviously the Lord can use a good Christian book that is filled with scripture references and the gospel itself to lead a lost individual into the eternal light and life of Jesus Christ. So please consider solid-ground-books.com when you're doing your holiday shopping, especially since Mike Adosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, has recently experienced a serious financial setback after having serious open heart surgery and being laid up in the hospital. So please go to solid-ground-books.com as often as you can during your Christmas season shopping and any other time of the year as well. We are now back with our interview with Dr. Cliff Boone, author and pastor of Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We are discussing Christ Victorious, how to experience Christ's victory over the devil in your everyday life. That also happens to be the title of his new book. And we do have some listeners waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If any of you would like to join them, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have Linda in Hilltop Lakes, Texas, who says, "Brother Chris, my question for Dr. Boone is, children often have fears of the boogeyman in the night. Is there any truth that this could be a demon? What would you suggest as an answer for this phenomenon? One pastor speaks at the boogeyman and says, 'Oh, it's only you.' Also, when missionaries first come to a foreign country, they often see much demonic activity in the area. Then after the gospel is preached and souls are saved, one doesn't see demon possession as much as they used to. Salvation comes through believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you seen a correlation between the gospel and the lessening of demonic activity? Thank you for tackling this very sensitive but very real subject."
Good questions. Let me take the second one first. And when we went in to the Sundawe people, we were the first missionary team sent in. So you can imagine a people group. So they were about 40,000 strong, spread across 32 different villages. It's a very rural setting. We lived out in the bush. But imagine a people who their entire history was gospelless. So that, you know, since they ever became a people, however many, whenever that was, you know, thousands of years ago, they had no gospel. So there's a lot of demonic activity, and because we were the first, you know, not a lot of time has gone on, but what we did begin to see was in those families that believed, then in those families, the demonic stuff faded away. So that, and I think that maybe that's what happens, is that as more and more families trust in Christ and, you know, Satan loses his grip on certain families, but he's still active. About the children, I have a whole chapter in our book telling the story of an episode that occurred with our son. And so I would say that sometimes it's just the child being scared of nothing. And but
a coat on a coat rack.
What's that?
It could be a coat on a coat rack or anything.
Yes, right. It sometimes, and that's the issue, is that we need great discernment. But sometimes, Satan does not fight like a gentleman. You know, you see these old movies where there's a sword fight between a good guy and a bad guy, and the bad guy's sword falls out of his hand, and the gentleman stops, lets him pick up his sword and keep fighting. Well, Satan doesn't fight like a gentleman, and that there's nowhere where that's more seen than with children. That he would attack children, you know, is horrible. So he does, and we as parents need to be in prayer. We need to be availing ourselves of the means of grace and teaching our children to do the same. But we also need to be equipped to resist the devil in a pointed way when that's called for. And I think I was hoping that sometime during our interview, Chris, I could maybe talk a little bit about the difference between a kind of a preventative resistance of the devil and a pointed resistance.
Yeah, in fact, right after this next question that I'll read,
okay,
we'll do that. By the way, Linda, please make sure we have your full mailing address in Hilltop Lakes, Texas, because you have won a free copy of Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life by Dr. Cliff Boone. And thank you so much for being such a faithful and generous and loyal listener in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience. We have Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, with a question. And by the way, Ted, God willing, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods in 2019. I'm going to be at the Deep South Founders Conference in Mississippi, Laurel, Mississippi, on January, between January 21st and 27th, somewhere in those dates. And also in Alabama itself at the True Church Conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, February 14th through the 17th, I believe, are the dates. But that's just a roundabout figure of the dates that I'm going to be in there. So keep that in mind if you want to go to either or both of those conferences. But Ted in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, says, I'm wondering if Pastor Boone can address the difficult question of how to decide when to bring a pastor or even a counselor who specializes in spiritual warfare into a situation in which a believer becomes convinced that they are being affected by demonic forces, or whether that believer should best rebuke those forces and attempt to deal with the situation on their own.
Okay, so that's a great question. In my opinion, and with the experience that I've had, and I operate under this one guideline, is that the person who's having the trouble has to engage their own will. So they have to understand and then engage their will in resisting. And the more you can teach and help a person to understand certain truths so that they realize why it is that they can resist the devil if they're in Christ, and how to do that. And then the more they involve their own will, the more successful you are in the long run. Sometimes there's some inroad has been given where the person is just so beaten down that they need somebody to resist the devil on their behalf. And this sometimes, you know, Chris, you mentioned that in some groups they're kind of extreme and kind of fantastical. There's some problems in some groups where they immediately gravitate to somebody else praying for and doing something to the person who's troubled. My approach is I get the person and we teach them. The stuff that I've put in the book is the things that I teach people, help them to understand themselves and resist. But our elders here at our church are equipped now so that sometimes, I'm thinking of one young man in our church who was really downtrodden and there was an evil spirit involved, and in those early days, an elder and I would meet with him repeatedly, teach, pray, lead him to resist on his own. Gradually, he got freer and freer, and he was doing it himself. And the great thing was he was under all these kind of psychotic drugs because the system had said that, well, you're hallucinating and this and that, but he was actually being visited by an evil spirit. But he got to the place where his psychiatrist kept taking him off of all of his drugs, and when he told the guy, he says, well, actually, it's because I've been taught how to pray. That's what his answer was to his psychologist. And the guy said, well, if everybody was like you, I'd be out of a job. Give the praise to the Lord, you know, that the Lord gets the glory for that. But in those early days, he needed help. He needed somebody to be praying for him and with him. But now he's standing on his own two feet and doesn't need that. Do you think I answered the question, Chris, or is there something else I need to add?
I don't think there's anything else you need to add other than I'm assuming you would agree with me, though, that something that is that serious, whether or not it is actually demonic or not. If the person is believing that it's demonic in a supernatural way, it must be serious. That this is not something that should be hidden from a pastor of a church that they are,
right,
whose care they are under. I mean, that would be, to me, pretty ridiculous to not inform your pastor about it, or your elders, plural.
Yes, and I've had other pastors ask me for help because they realize they weren't trained in this when they were in seminary. They don't really know what to do, but they're still the pastor of the person. So I can come alongside and help, for example, or somebody else that has some experience. But and sometimes that is very helpful, but not separate from their own shepherd, you know, or their elders. I wouldn't be interested in doing that. You know, the pastor himself needs to be involved, and he can learn while we're involved together. But sometimes things are just, you know, I'm not going to say that I know what to do in every circumstance, and so sometimes, you know, it's like, wow, I need help. I got to call somebody else. You know, in Tanzania, often I was leaning on my African brothers who had more experience with this, and I was learning while we were in the middle of it together. Yeah. But you got to understand, too, that often in our culture, like I mentioned before, if somebody's having a trouble and they think evil spirits are somehow involved, they're hesitant to say it because of the response they get from people. And unfortunately, some of that is even from our pastors. They don't really know what to do with it, and they say things, you know, like, well, have you gone for a mental health exam and stuff? And that's not what the person needs right then. They need somebody to say, well, maybe I don't know exactly how to do this, but I know that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, so I am going to pray with you and work with you until we see Christ's victory in your life. That will mean more to that person than being referenced off to another counselor.
By the way, we got an email. It's not a question. It's just someone who wanted to say hi to you. He says, tell Cliff Boone that Harold Snyder says hi.
No kidding. Okay. Well, that's amazing.
Well,
great. Hi. Tell him hi back. Or I guess he's hearing it. Yeah.
Okay, and what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you go into that twofold presentation that you were just mentioned. I'll have you do that when we return from our midway break, because we have to go to a midway break now.
Okay.
This is a longer than normal break. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and commercials. So please be patient with us as we take this elongated break, and also use this time wisely by not only writing down questions for our guest, Dr. Cliff Boone, at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, but also write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. The more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they are going to remain our advertisers. And that means the more likely we are going to be able to remain on the air, because we depend upon the finances provided by our advertising sponsors in order to exist. So please patronize our advertisers as much as you can. And write down the information during this break that they provide so that you can more frequently and successfully do so. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Cliff Boone and Christ Victorious.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at their number, which I am going to be giving you any second. Number is, the toll-free number is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Mention Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, and you will receive absolutely free of charge the book Always Reforming by David Engelsma. They also want you to know that they are having a Christmas sale where they are taking 10% off everything in the store. So please take advantage of that holiday sale at cvbbs.com or by calling 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, you could order online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have a few special announcements of special events coming up that we hope that you take advantage of. So get your pen and paper ready to write down the information. First of all, tomorrow we're going to be discussing a cult known as the Black Hebrew Israelites. Perhaps some of you who especially live in the inner city, I know that I have encountered them in New York City on several occasions, but they are a growing phenomenon. The Black Hebrew Israelites, we're going to be discussing them with author Vocab Malone on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio tomorrow, God willing, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure you mark your calendar for tomorrow and listen to that program and get your questions ready for author Vocab Malone. Also, coming up next month in January, there are some events that I will be attending where I will be also manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth. And I hope that you can join me there. The first is an organization that I am running myself. It is my biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. And every man in ministry leadership is welcome, whether you are a pastor or an elder, which I actually think are the same office from what the scriptures teach. But some churches have those as distinct offices. But if you are a pastor or an elder, a deacon, a parachurch ministry leader, you are welcome, as long as you are a man in those offices. This is exclusively a men's luncheon. And so if you would like to join us that day for this free luncheon, which will be Thursday, January 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall, just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your name and church and so on, and we'll put you down on the list. In fact, I hope that my guest, Dr. Cliff Boone, attends and invites as many pastors within the Bible Fellowship Church denomination as he possibly can. It's absolutely free of charge, I said. Every man there will receive not only a free lunch, but you will receive at least one, but perhaps even two, heavy sacks of brand new books that have been donated by major Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. Every year, these publishers are generous enough to give me 100 copies each of a title I select from each publisher that I think will bless the men in leadership and attendance at my luncheons. And the vast majority of the major publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom comply eagerly with my requests, and I have been doing so since the 1990s. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. That will be absolutely free of charge. There is nothing for sale at my luncheons. That was the insistence of my late wife, Julie, who started these luncheons in the 1990s out of the generosity of her beautiful heart. She wanted me to treat men in ministry that I knew personally to pastors' luncheons, and this grew into an extremely large event where I eventually had to get corporate sponsorship to help me. So this will be, once again, a tribute to my late wife, Julie, now spending an eternity with Christ. Our speaker for the second time at my luncheons is Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And I am looking forward to that very much. He is a wonderfully gifted speaker and a very wonderful brother in Christ. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if you'd like to attend the January 3rd free pastor's luncheon sponsored by Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. And then immediately following that, from Friday the 4th of January through Sunday the 6th of January, I have organized a three-day conference also featuring Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary that will be held at the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania, Pastor George Jensen is the pastor. And the theme will be the greatest threats against the Christian church in North America in the 21st century. That is the theme for the three-day conference. If you'd like to attend that conference, and by the way, the conference is open up to anybody, not just men and not just leaders. Men, women, and children are all welcome at this free conference, even non-Christians. In fact, we would love more non-Christians than Christians to show up. If you would like to join us there at this free conference, you can call 717-732-4253. That's the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. 717-732-4253. Or you can go to enolacog.com. enolacog.com. You can also email me, again, at chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Tony Costa Bible Conference in the subject line or something similar. And then after that, later that same month, I am going to be heading to Atlanta, Georgia, College Park, to be more specific, from Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th, at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, where they are having, once again, the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. I will be manning my third exhibitor's booth there. They are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people to attend. So I would strongly urge you, if you have a business, professional practice, special event, parachurch organization, or church that you want to promote in that crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people, I would urge you to also register for an exhibitor's booth in addition to registering to attend. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and there will be a special Spanish-speaking edition of the conference on Wednesday, January 16th, so tell your Spanish-speaking and bilingual friends about that. But as far as the English-speaking conference from the 17th through the 19th of January, the speakers include Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, the founder, or should I say the president, of Reformation Bible College, which was founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And then after that, I will, for the very first time, be manning an exhibitor's booth at the Deep South Founders Conference in Laurel, Mississippi, at the Bethlehem Baptist Church of Laurel. The theme is going to be sanctification, and the conference is January 24th through the 26th. The speakers include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and the keynote speaker is, once again, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who you just heard me mention, is also speaking at the G3 conference. He is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth, in my humble opinion, and I've known Brother Conrad since 1995. What a blessing to the body of Christ he is. Pastor of Kubata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and Chancellor of African Christian University. If you'd like to attend the Deep South Founders Conference, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, you love sharing the free MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you love hearing the topics and the guests featured on my show that are sometimes never heard anywhere else, well, then I strongly urge you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and We also offer you the ability to send in the checks via snail mail, the old-fashioned way, to the address that will appear on your screen when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. We are facing another financial crisis that is just around the corner because we realize that we do not have sufficient funds to pay major bills for the end of this, due by the end of this month, or in January also. So please help us as much as you can and as frequently as you can by going to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. So remember, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio obviously is not a command of God, meaning supporting it is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please give as heavily as you can and as frequently as you can by going to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and we will help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you'd need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. And we would love to help you do that ad campaign because we are in great need of your advertising dollars. Also, if you are not in a biblically sound church home where you live, and if you're not prayerfully looking for one, you're living in disobedience and rebellion against God. Please send me an email if you're having a hard time finding a church home. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have already helped a number of listeners in my audience to find good churches near them, so you can be one of them by sending me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put in the subject line, I need a church home or something similar. And I look forward to hearing from you. That's also the email address, by the way, where you can send in a question to our guest, Dr. Cliff Boone, who will be with us for approximately another hour. His book, Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life, is our subject. And that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you could pick up where we left off, those two major points that you wanted to discuss, Dr. Boone.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking during the break that perhaps I might have given the wrong impression. Right in the beginning, you asked me to give a few examples of how was it that I was in my early Christian life bumping up against the unseen realm. And I mentioned a few that were kind of, extraordinary. But also, in my experience at the time, I didn't recognize the demonic element to it. But at times I was tempted where there's temptation that's particularly strong, or there's a strength to it that you can't seem to shake, or then even getting into habitual sin where you're in some sort of habitual sin pattern that you can't seem to get out of. And the subtitle of the book is How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life. The bizarre things can and do happen. But often, I'm not writing to turn people into exorcists. I'm just writing to help people recognize the unseen realm's reality and power and realize that we're equipped to resist. So then to go to your point, your question, we're told twice in the New Testament, resist the devil, their commands. And often what happens is we don't really treat them like we treat other commands. When we're told love one another, we know what we have to do or this or that. But then it says resist the devil, and Westerners, we kind of look at that command, scratch our head, and go on. I see it in general, there's a preventative resistance and a pointed resistance. So the preventative resistance is everything that we already know about availing ourselves of the means of grace. You know, we're taking in the Word of God in various ways that we do that. We're participating in prayer, the fellowship of the saints. We're serving people. We're partaking of communion and baptism. And we're doing it all with hearts of faith and submission. And it's like that normal Christian life builds up protection around us. But sometimes the wall is breached in some way, or we're just attacked. Jesus had no sin, so he never was at fault for being attacked by the evil one. He just was. So sometimes we bring the attacks on ourselves through some sort of spiritual negligence or sin or rebellion. Other times we're just attacked. And in those times, we have to recognize that, so this isn't all the time, but sometimes there's an evil presence. So when there's an actual evil presence involved in the situation, what do I do now? Well, that's when there's a pointed resistance needed that's over and above your normal availing yourself of the means of grace. And in that pointed resistance, I take the example of Christ when he was approached by Satan in the desert as giving us a pattern to follow. Now, there's a whole hermeneutical question behind that, but we probably don't have time for that. But I do take that as teaching us what to do. And so we draw on his courage, and then we open our mouth and we speak. So in our case, we're speaking in the authority of Christ, in the name of Christ. We're addressing the evil one, and we're resisting him and ordering him out of the situation. And when we do it, we quote Scripture. That's what Jesus did. Each time he pushed back against Satan's temptation, he quoted Scripture, and if the Lord needed to quote Scripture, then I need to quote Scripture. So, this isn't all the time, but when I sense that there is an evil presence in one way or another, you know, I break off from my praying. So it's all couched in addressing the Lord and worshiping Him, praying, asking for help, and then I'll momentarily break. And I'll address the evil one present, and I'll say, Satan, in the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ, I resist you. Now, you must flee, because the Word of God says, and in many cases I'll quote James, where it says, resist the devil, and he will flee. So now, you must flee. But then that's it. Then I turn back my attention to the Lord and go on. But I've seen over and over again just the personal sense of oppression or weakness or being attacked, the atmosphere in rooms at times where something's going on and it could be in the midst of a conversation or something, and you begin to sense that there's another player on the field here that our eyes can't see. Now, I'm going to address that player and get him out of here. And I resist in the name of Jesus Christ. And they leave, you know, and the freedom comes after that.
Now, when you say they leave, how do you know this? Because some of this, I'm assuming, is subjective. I mean, I don't know how often you are absolutely certain that what you are experiencing or witnessing
right.
is a bona fide supernatural demonic experience
right.
or manifestation. So I'm assuming that sometimes you are just playing it safe by going with your gut and trying to obey the Scriptures in the midst of that experience, but you're not really absolutely sure that what you're experiencing or witnessing is supernatural.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes I am, but at other times I'm sure. But it is interesting because you know, we're in communities of faith that we emphasize the cerebral. Let's face it, we can be kind of cerebral, and there's it's good. You know, we study the Scriptures and we want to know the truth. So there's corresponding weakness or the opposite of that we see in other communities of faith that are de-emphasized. Serious study, and they're not very cerebral, and they get off on all kinds of error. Yet we have to acknowledge that a lot of life is subjective, and I mean, we're experiencing life as we live it. And in this realm, we have to be willing to realize that you can't always quantify some of this. It is the unseen, and so sometimes there's just a even with temptation, this is where sometimes you know you're tempted in one way or another, and then sometimes there's a strength to it that shakes you, and you've got to now, you see, in my early days, I didn't recognize it. This is satanic. Before I wasn't thinking that way. Now it's like, okay, I'm pushing back in the name of Christ. I don't know if you remember this one story that I gave in here where, here it is. Can I read it to you as an example?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's Brad's story. He says, one evening I was at home alone. Didn't have anything important to do, and so turned on the television. There was a movie on that seemed vaguely interesting, so I put the remote aside and started watching. After only a few minutes, with no warning, a scene erupted on the screen that was an intense combination of sensuality and violence. I was so shocked that my head even went backwards like I had been struck. I fumbled with the remote until I finally shut off the TV. My heart rate was up. I felt out of breath. My spirit was reeling with what my eyes had seen. So I began to pray. I asked God for forgiveness for any responsibility I bore and asked for his cleansing. There was a sense of oppression and weight that stayed with me. I kept asking God for his help, but the sense of darkness and uncleanness continued to weigh on me. I couldn't get the scenes out of my mind. Finally, I opened my mouth and said out loud, "Satan, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I resist you. I take back any ground that you gained in my life through this, and I order you out. Be gone, because the Word of God says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The sense of oppression and uncleanness immediately left. So stories like that, and in my life also, yes, they're subjective. there's no question. And yet, in my experience, the occasions where you act were for in God's sovereignty, he allows you for some reason to actually see that realm. And those are rare. In my case, that has happened to me. They're very, very rare. Most are kind of like that story of Brad's, where it is subjective. But it's very real, and I've learned to live with that, with that. And sometimes you don't know, but sometimes as the years go on, it's like, oh, I know. I know. I can't see it with my eyes, but I know. Maybe it's just learned by experience.
Well, we have a listener named Kofi in Medford, Oregon, originally from the United Kingdom. And Kofi says, thank you for this scintillating discussion. I often find in our reform circles that the devil and the demonic aren't really discussed or addressed, and so I am always thankful when it comes up. My question is, how much of what we consider satanic or demonic activity is culturally tailored to where we find ourselves? I ask because as someone who is of African descent, I was raised with wild and wonderful stories that sound insane in Western cultures, but I know the evil one is at work in our culture. That's Kofi in Medford, Oregon.
Oh, boy. Great. Yeah, great question. I think, now here I'm getting a little bit probably out of, some of this is kind of educated guess, but Satan is behind the scenes. He has an indirect effect on us too, as he and his demons affect the culture at large. The results of that come our way and touch us, and in those cases, he's indirectly affecting me, and that's real. My book is dealing with, but what happens when it's right there directly affecting me? But that effect on cultures, he's doing different things in different cultures. So, like, he's referring, Kofi, he's from the UK, I'm not sure.
Originally, yeah, he's in Medford, Oregon now.
Oh, he's in Oregon, okay. But, yes, so the culture where I lived in East Africa was rife with the stories and all these fantastical stories that were spoken about as fact. No one was doubting any of it. And now here I'm on kind of on the other end of the spectrum. So I think Satan has affected both of the cultures differently to get us kind of approaching the subject differently. But underneath it, his core stratagem is always the same, and that I talk about in the book is he's looking for a place in us. I compare John 14:30 with what Satan was trying to do to Jesus, where Jesus says, you know, Satan's coming after me, but he has nothing in me. He has no thing in me. He has no foothold. With the passage in Ephesians 4 where Paul said, you know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't give the devil a place or an opportunity. That's translated in different ways in English. His core strategy is through deception, sin, however, he's looking for a little foothold in our life. Then his intent, as Jesus taught us in John 10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take what's not his rightfully, what's rightfully belongs to another. He wants to extinguish life. He wants to render useless something, to destroy it. So he works that way, but his starting point can be different in the big picture depending on the culture that you're in. And he works against Christians that way. What I bump into is this kind of naive belief in some sort of spiritual immunity that, oh, I'm a Christian, so Satan's not going to do anything to me. And my answer is, well, then why then did Paul say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against this, and why are we told resist the devil? There is a reality that we have to face up to. Now, we're not going to be possessed in the sense of our ownership being changed. When I'm in Christ, I'm in Christ. That cannot change. Satan will never own me. But he will take as much ground in my life as I give him because he cheats. And as long as I let him cheat, you know, he'll cheat. But when I recognize what's going on and I stand in Christ then, and in the name of Christ, and I have a chapter, two chapters really dealing with what's it mean in this discussion, what does it mean to be in Christ, and then the difference between authority and power. Those are two crucial pieces to understand. So in the authority of Christ, I can stand and resist the devil and take back any ground he's gained in my life. And at the core, that's where I end up, whether I'm starting as an African from that culture or a secular American from our culture, I end up right there at the same spot.
Thank you so much, Kofi, and make sure that we have your full mailing address in Medford, Oregon, because you have won a free copy of Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life. And now we are going to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the last one. And so if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own, I would do so now because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be back with the conclusion of our discussion with Dr. Cliff Boone right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, senior pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker, all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's Lynbrook Baptist.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more. and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well-grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily.
Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org.
Welcome back, and I just want to remind our listeners, since Lynbrook Baptist Church of Lynbrook, Long Island's ad got cut off short there accidentally, I just want to make sure that you have the website, lynbrookbaptist.org, lynbrookbaptist.org, that's L-Y-N-B-R-O-O-K, baptist.org, and I thank Pastor Bob Waldeman and Deacon Sal D'Antona and the congregation of Lynbrook Baptist Church for being so faithful in their financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back to the final 15 minutes of our interview with Dr. Cliff Boone on his book, Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life. If you intend to write in a question, I would do so quickly now because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We do have Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, how do we distinguish between attacks of Satan and attacks that are neutral? I'm sorry. Let me read it over. How do we distinguish between attacks of Satan and attacks that are a natural result of the fall? Or is there no distinction?
Great question. No, there is a distinction, I think. Like I was saying before, there's Satan has a lot of indirect effect on us through his effect, you know, that results in changes in the culture and people around us. And we know we've got these three sources of trouble, right? We have our flesh, our sin nature within us, the world in which we live, and the devil. So we've got these three sources of trouble, and sometimes it's more one than the other, or two out of the three, and so many times we're being tempted, and it's just because of the world and the flesh, or it's just an indirect issue from Satan, and then sometimes there really is a presence that we have to get rid of, and I would say that some of it comes just by praying for God to give discernment, that His Spirit would help us in the midst of things. But one warning flag for me, and I say this both from personal experience in my own life as well as counseling others, is habitual sin. You see, what's happening with habitual sin is that I'm abrogating the use of my will, which God in Christ gives me the ability to use my will to obey Him and to follow Him. So if I'm just, you know, given a certain circumstance, boom, I'm going to fall to a certain temptation, and I'm not getting a consistent relief from that and living clean from it, I would suspect some sort of satanic piece to that, in that my mentor told me once, Satan never passes by an open door. So if I'm just not using my will in a certain case, it's like an open door. He said, well, I'll go in there then, you know, and I'll take a little piece, get a foothold in this life. So that would be one red flag for me, is habitual sin. And then in other cases, sometimes it's just an increased strength and awareness of strength that's opposing you in one way or another. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Gordy. And because you live so close to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who ships out our winners their free books, why don't you save them some shipping costs by popping over there tomorrow or sometime soon to pick up your copy there on North Hanover Street in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And we thank you for sending in your excellent question on Christ Victorious, how to experience Christ's victory over the devil in your everyday life. We have an anonymous listener.
Okay.
The anonymous listener says, knowing that you are in a non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal, and very conservative, sovereign grace-believing denomination, have you received any pushback or opposition from your colleagues in ministry in that denomination over what you have written, since it does lend itself to the sensational? I'm not saying that you are purposely doing that. I'm just saying, obviously, the subject matter is right. Very often abused with sensationalistic responses to an actual biblical manifestation and experience that can occur.
Right. I have a long history with my ministering brothers, and so we know each other. So in that sense, there's been no opposition because we know each other. But there has been some quizzical looks and some, I would call it, cautiousness in the whole subject. But I understand that, and it has.
And we should be cautious about it.
Yeah, right. So, like, there has been some, what would I say, some less than enthusiastic response, but it's not really opposition because we know each other and they know, oh, okay, that's Cliff, and, well, I'm a little quizzical about this whole subject, but let me listen to what Cliff is saying, that kind of thing.
Well, thank you, Anonymous, and if you give me off the air, of course, your full name and mailing address, we will ship you a free copy. I think this is the final copy that we have of Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life. I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
That's kind of personal, and I know that you would not have infallible knowledge of this. I'm just curious what your response is. There was a period of my life, tragically, after 18 years of sobriety, before I became, or should I say, after I became a Christian initially in the 1980s, I was completely sober from alcohol or of imbibing in alcohol for 18 years, and I backslid for a period back into that in a very serious level of habitual intoxication. I was under church discipline and restored, and thankfully I think that church discipline actually saved my life. And I have actually done an interview for anybody who cares to hear it with one of my former pastors on Long Island, New York, who actually was one of those in authority disciplining me in the church. So after the fact, we did an interview on that subject because it's a very, I think, important subject and neglected subject. But during that period of wandering in darkness as a alcoholic, drunkard, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, I would on occasion meet in bars and taverns different people that, to my knowledge, they didn't even know each other. And they would say to me, oh, look who it is. It's the pastor. We have a pastor here, ladies and gentlemen, and the pastor is drinking hard liquor. Isn't that funny? Blah, blah, blah. And I never have been a pastor. And I would correct these people. I'd say, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not a pastor. Oh, yes, you are a pastor. And the reason why it became eerie is that it was the same kind of line being delivered, saying that I was a pastor.
Interesting.
Almost the mistake almost lent more credibility in my mind to the fact that this could be demonic activity going on that actually the Lord obviously was using to prick my conscience.
Right.
But it was strange to me that they wouldn't just say, oh, I know that you're a churchgoer. I know that you're a born-again Christian. It's interesting that you are drinking so heavily. They would always say, it's the pastor. What do you make of that? Do you think that there's a possibility that could have been some kind of a demonic thing going on? Because especially since it happened close to 10 different times with 10 different people that were strangers to me, by the way. Total strangers.
Yeah, and not only that, another part that makes me think it was, demonic is that it's a lie, right? You were not a pastor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's a liar. Jesus teaches us that John 8:44, and when he says when he speaks a lie, he's being consistent with who he is. So yeah, that and then you combine that with the setting, what's going on in your life, but then why 10 different people that don't even know each other? Surely. But the wondrous piece, too, about this is you kind of alluded to it, where it was that the Lord gets the victory. And I just
think
it's wondrous, because here's Satan using a liar against you, but then God turns it to prick your conscience. And I have one chapter in the book about Job, lessons we learned from Job, and part of that touches on that age-old question, why does evil exist? But, you know, that God gets the victory. The Lord gets the victory, even though there's a mystery as to why he's allowed evil. He does overrule it, and in the end, he'll silence it. And so, but yes, I would, from my perspective, hearing just what you've said, I would think so. And here's the thing that happens too. What I realize in pastoral ministry is sometimes there's problems that come through the church, or disruptive people in one way or another, especially those that are taxing the pastors or elders, and they seem unrelated, like the people are not talking to each other, they're different issues. But I've learned as the years have gone by that you look past that and you realize they are related. Back in the unseen realm, Satan's working against the church, trying to tax or tempt or distract the leaders, as well as destroy other people's lives in the process. And a lot of things that look on the surface as they're unrelated are actually related back a notch, you know, back behind the veil. And when you begin to recognize that and then pray against Satan in an aggressive way, you begin to see more relief than if you approach it only without that perspective. You're just trying to deal with this person, that person, this situation, but you're not resisting the devil who's behind the scenes orchestrating it. So even in ministry, in church ministry, we find much greater relief being aware of that realm and some of the strategies.
Well, right now, I'd like you to, in about 2 minutes' time, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about how to experience Christ's victory over the devil in your everyday life.
Well, I want to end this thinking about the Lord Jesus, that when he was tempted, he never gave up not even a millimeter's piece of himself to Satan. So he was victorious in all of his temptations and attacks during his life, in the last week of his life, on the cross. He obeyed right to the end, and in his death, he defeats the evil one, rises from the dead, ascends into heaven, and now he gives us the Holy Spirit and his word, and he manifests his victory that he got on the cross over the evil one. He manifests it more and more through his people, first through his apostles, now through us, as we obey the injunction, resist the devil. So we resist in his name. We're pressing the victory of Christ. We're pressing that victory against the evil one that's giving us trouble. And all of this is with a view to the end, when he finalizes that victory and all of his purposes on this earth are done. We have the new heavens and the new earth, and he has cast all the evil into everlasting judgment, and he silenced Leviathan in the end. And we'll experience that great victory there, and our struggle will be over. So it's all about the Lord Jesus, and he is wonderful, and he's our strong captain. He's the victor, and he gives us the authority to walk in his name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to remind our listeners about how they can get in contact with you. If you live in Allentown, Pennsylvania, or if you're just visiting there, or if you have friends, family, and loved ones who live in or nearby Allentown, you can find out more about the Cedar Crest Bible Fellowship Church in Allentown, right, Pennsylvania, by going to cedarcrest.church. Cedarcrest.church. That's easy to remember. And you can find out more about ordering the book, Christ Victorious, How to Experience Christ's Victory Over the Devil in Your Everyday Life there. Do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
Yes, I've just begun a website to blog with. I've just begun it, but it's www.gospelfreedom.org, gospelfreedom.org. So you can go there, and there's links there to get the book, or, of course, the book's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Christian Book Distributors, all of those.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. I look forward to seeing you in person at another conference again. I look forward to having you back on the show. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.